All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to James, the first chapter, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, we're doing a series entitled Living Our Everyday Lives with Jesus. And we're from a very practical letter, that's James. He kind of gives us some things that we need to focus on. And from the very beginning of the letter, he started out talking about you and I and how we respond to difficulties and suffering. Then with that, he goes on to the next area, which is he's talking about how we're to deal with the issue of temptation. Because a lot of our suffering, we've mentioned this before, comes out of the stuff we do wrong. There are consequences. So now he's going to move into how do we respond? What do you mean, how do we respond? Well, I want you to think with me. You ever been at the workplace and you're working with a crew of people, and when you get there, you show up, you're like having a great day, and somebody says, avoid so-and-so today. Don't do much with him. He's having a bad day. And you already know the cue in there that he's having a bad day, therefore he's treating everybody else what? Badly. He's reacting on them. Do you know what I'm saying? Because maybe something happened at home, or maybe he got a bill, or maybe he woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or somebody put nails in his Wheaties that morning for breakfast. Whatever. He's having a bad day, and he just takes it out on everybody else, right? James, I think, understands that. So when he's just had this discussion about suffering and difficulties that we face and about seeking wisdom from God, and then he goes on from there and talks about the perspective that we should have in suffering, and from there he goes on and talks about the issue of temptation, because let's be honest, when we give in to temptation, that results in death, destruction in our life. That's why a lot of our consequences, the suffering that we go through, is because of the consequences of what we do. And he kind of gives some guidance there. He's going to move naturally into how you treat other people. How do you respond to the things that happen in your life? And you have to ask yourself, how do you respond to stuff that goes wrong? There are days when I'm like, oh, I can handle it. But then there are days like, why are you so grumpy today, George? You know what I'm saying? Why are you grumpy? Why are you in a bad mood? And so that's kind of like what he's going to be talking about here. He's going to be talking about how to respond. So let's look at the passage together. We're going to focus on verses 19 through 27. Okay? 19 through 27. And I want you to notice what he says. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to divide this into three sections. I'm going to talk about how do we respond. First thing, he's going to tell us, don't react. He's going to talk about you and I then being proactive. So we're going to talk about what we need to be doing instead. And then we're going to talk about the evidence of your life. The evidence of your life. So let's take a look at it. First of all, don't react. So notice what he says, first of all, in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers or sisters, we can include that as well. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So he's basically saying three things here. Be quick to hear, because when we get irritated and we get all funked out about stuff, we just think to ourselves, oh my goodness, what's going on? We don't hear what other people are saying. You know, we don't hear. Be slow to speak. When you're over tight, reacted, you're going to just utter stuff that comes out of your mouth, and that's where you say things that you regret, right? And then slow to anger. So what's he saying here? It is essential for you to understand that you must gain control over yourself. You got to get control of yourself. Well, you don't understand, George. You don't understand, man. I'm going through it right now. It just seems like when it's rained, it pours. And I've got this bill showed up, got this phone call about this. I got this thing going on over here with the family or at work. It's like everything's going strong wrong at the same time, and I'm just being pressed from all sides. All I can do is just react. And you want me to get a grip? Because that's what he's talking about here, right? Get a grip. Yeah, he's saying get control. Get control of yourself. So be quick to listen. Now, you and I know that. You talk to somebody who's going through it, and you try to tell them what to do, and they're so worked up. And then later on, they're like, why didn't you tell me what to do? And you're like, well, I did tell you. You just weren't listening. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Some of us need to get control of our mouths because we just let stuff fly. And then we're like, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I shouldn't have never said that. Well, maybe you should have stopped it in the first place. Don't just utter it. And then slow to anger. Some of us, can I be honest with you, are just percolating underneath and we're just ready to erupt. And there's a lot of eruptions going on in our lives, right? Because of the seething anger that's on the inside. Be slow to anger. It's essential for you to understand you got to get control of yourself. Why? Because difficulties, we've already seen this, are a part of life. Temptations are not because God tempted you. It's because you and your desires led you in a direction you shouldn't go to. So get a grip. That's what he's saying here. So then what else does he say? Look with me. Being consumed by anger doesn't benefit you spiritually. Being consumed by anger doesn't benefit you. Doesn't benefit anybody else around you. It sure doesn't benefit you. Look at what it says, verse 20. Here's what he says. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't produce in your life what you're supposed to be. You're just an angry dude or lady. Get a grip. Well, again, you don't understand. Look, I know what you're saying. I don't understand your particular circumstances, but each of us, let's be honest, let's all lay it on the line here. Each of us goes through a series of things. You're going through it right now. Every single one of us goes through things that just pinch us, that bear us down, that wear us down, that have our goat and our lunch or whatever else you want to say. Each of us is going through something. The question is, how are we reacting? Now, some people, they react well, because they're looking to the Lord. But then there are others, you don't want to hang out with them today, right? Isn't that what we say to each other at work? Don't go near him. He's having a bad day. In fact, we have terms for it. He's having a bad hair day, right? Having a bad hair day. Now, if you're in my situation where you almost don't have any anymore, it's hard to have a bad hair day. It's a no hair day, okay? And that in itself maybe is not a good sign, okay? So Don't react. That's our first response, is we want to react. It's like a mosquito biting me. I want to kill it. Don't react. So therefore, you and I need to be proactive. You and I need to be constantly making sure that we don't get to the place that we react. So how do we do that, George? Well, let's take a look at that next section here. We're going to focus in on verses 21 to 25, and a lot of it has to do with the Word of God. So I've got several things, three things I want to point out here. Okay, so let's look at verse 21 first of all. Here's what he says. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here's what he's saying, okay? Reject your sin and choose to embrace God's word as it is revealed to you. Reject your sin. Look at what it says here, because notice the two things he's describing here, those things come out of us when we react. What is? Oh, say, for instance, he says, verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Those are pretty generic terms. Filthiness can immediately talk about what comes out of our mouth. Didn't we already say that when you're angry, you say things you don't feel like you should have said? And can we just go ahead and say that? Remember the nursery rhyme we learned? At least when I was in school, we learned this. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You remember that? Do we still teach kids that? Because I think we found out real quick later on, I'd rather have my bones broken with sticks and stones because words really hurt, right? And so the point is that filthiness, the stuff that comes out in reaction, that just causes severe destruction. Get rid of that. Reject that. Reject that. Reject your wickedness that comes out. What do you mean? The way you treat people. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. The way you treat people. What am I supposed to do then? I'm supposed to, if you look at what verse 21 says, I am supposed to receive with meekness the implanted word. What is the implanted word? It's what God reveals to you through his word. Receive it. Apply it to your life. Embrace it. Okay, so let me just go ahead. I'm going to just take a side note here, all right? I hope you have a Bible, okay? And here's what I hope. First of all, I hope you have a Bible you can read. What do you mean by that? I can read. Now, what I mean by that is, okay, because, you know, the church used up 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe some churches still, they get focused on that you need to have the King James Bible. That's a good Bible. I start out with that, started out my preaching in that. But it's a 1759 revision of the 1611. And the language of that Bible is from 1759. And I decided to move to a more modern version because when I came across words that I, George, with my education, didn't understand, and I had to get a Bible dictionary out to interpret it. In fact, they have King James Bible dictionaries for King James words, okay? Then you need to move to something modern. So if you have a Bible, hopefully it's something that you can read, and here's what I want you to see. This isn't just a book for getting facts, although it gives you a lot of facts. This isn't just a book that tells you a lot about who God is. It tells you a lot about who God is. But this book, with all of its books and letters in it, there are 66 individual writings here that are written over 1,500 years, is how God speaks to you. It's how he speaks to you. So when you're reading, I tell it, when I read, Lord, I'm coming to spend time with you today. I'm reading your word, what you have revealed. Show me what you want to see. Show me what you want to see for my life. And I'll be honest with you, there are wonderful things that he shows me. But it's also hard things. What do you mean? Because he ain't happy with everything in my life, right? Because I might have attitudes. I might have things that I think about that aren't right. I might have wrong thoughts or whatever, and God reveals them through his word to you. And so what you do is you embrace that, you receive it, and you respond to it. That's what he's talking about here. Don't react to the difficulties of life. Don't react to even the stuff you're going through because of your sin. Don't be mean to people and be sinful, but rather receive the word. Receive what God's saying to you. It's meaningful. In fact, let's go on. I've got a couple more points here I want you to see. When you look at verses 22 and 24, here's what he says. Simply hearing God's word without acting on it offers you no benefit. Simply just reading it and saying, oh yeah, that's a good idea, maybe you should do that, but you don't do anything, that offers you no benefit. In fact, he uses the illustration here. It's like a person who's looking at himself intently in a mirror. Oh, yeah. Maybe I need to trim my beard a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm due for a haircut. Yeah. Maybe I need to get that thing checked out with a doctor. It's looking kind of weird there as I'm getting older. Is that skin cancer? Yeah, and then you walk away from the mirror and then you forget all of that. He said it's like somebody who's looking into the word and sees himself and then forgets what he's reading, what God's showing him. That is just a hearer, not a doer. Do you understand? So just simply hearing it isn't going to bring any benefit to your life. I would say the same thing when you're listening to a message. Maybe a message here, or maybe something you're listening to on the radio, or watching on a TV, or maybe that you read later on in your own time. If God shows you something and you don't act on it, it's of no benefit to you. It's not going to benefit you. Do you know what I mean? Probably most of you will forget this message statistically by the time you leave the driveway here. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's how we are as humans. But it's called work on it. Do something about it. Simply hearing without acting on it offers you no benefit. So then here's what he says. If you look at God's word and put its teaching into action, you'll be blessed. If you look into his word, whatever it is that you're reading, and let me just go ahead and say this. This is going to be different for every single one of us. And if you do that, you're going to be blessed. If you do what he shows you. If you do what he shows you. I have had numerous incidents that I have been a part of in the 30-some years as a pastor where I've had people come to me. We have both been to an event and God spoke to them and they'll say to me over coffee, well, you know, I feel like God was telling me when we went to this event, we heard that speaker, I feel like he was telling me that. And I'm like, you got that out of that? I mean, I'm thinking through the message, like, where did he get that from? And then that person acted on what he felt God was